Well, if you would turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Psalm again, back to Psalm 33, I'm going to give you the last point of my message this morning. All right, Psalm 33, and let's read verse 8 together, church. Psalm 33, 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Father God, thank You again for letting us look at Your Word. I pray, Spirit of God, You would teach us, You would unite us to fear Your name, and Lord, be glorified in our midst tonight. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's message, and we'll continue tonight, was the title of it was Stand in Awe. And just as a quick review, we defined this term of standing in awe and what it means. And I'm going to mention the Charles Bridges quote again. I think it's a beautiful description of the fear of the Lord or standing in awe of God. He says this, "The fear of the Lord or the fear of God is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bids himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law," which is the Word of God. "His wrath is so bitter and His love so sweet that hence springs an earnest desire to please Him." That is what I believe we see throughout the Word of God when it comes to the context of the fear of God, fearing the Lord, and we know that it is mentioned so many times. And we'll look at those throughout the year. I had to ask the Lord to help me. Lord, help me not to try to say too much today, because there's so many sweet, rich things that we'll be diving into in the coming weeks and months. But we talked about the wonder of God and how we are amazed with Him and Him as a person, the triune God. We also looked at just a little glimpse of His glory through His creation as we looked at the Westerland 2 photo that the Hubble space shuttle took of that years ago. I think it was just 5 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure on the exact time, but it wasn't that long ago, and how far away it is, and how it just immense and incredible that creation of His really is to us as we look at it. And then we looked at the first aspect of standing in awe of God. Does anybody like to remember what was the first aspect of fearing God? It is to be what? Amazed. It is to be in awe. It is to be enthralled with Him, inspired by Him, exuberant with Him, excited. Knowing God and fearing God, there's going to be no boredom. Our God is worthy as we know Him and fear Him. We looked at some of those examples. And also, we looked at not only an aspect of fearing God as being amazed with Him, but secondly, what was it? To be what? Afraid. Afraid of Him. It is very healthy for all of His children to have a reverential fear of God Almighty, to be afraid of Him. And we talked about what exactly does that mean to be afraid of Him. Afraid in the sense of Him being an unjust judge, cantankerous, malicious, and just out to destroy us? No, absolutely not. We looked at it as a fact that the very fact that He is a holy God and His will is perfect and what He does is beautiful. And He has called us and saved us to do a work for Him. And we don't want to oppose Him in that. And it's a very dangerous thing to oppose Him. And we talked about the fear of opposing Him, but we also talked about the fear of disappointing Him. He's done so much for us. And we want to please Him and not grieve Him. That is the desire of our lives. And tonight, finishing up, I would like to look at the third aspect, and that is to revere Him. I could also give the points as this. The three aspects of the fear of God are to be amazed with Him, to be afraid of Him, and thirdly, to admire Him. That is the third aspect that I'd like to speak on tonight. It carries the idea of us esteeming God above all else. All others. just a respect that is unique. A respect that none other person on this earth or none other thing receives, but only God. That's the third aspect that I would like to look at. It is to elevate God and His will and His Word above everything else. I love Rand Hummel's description of the fear of God, especially in the context of revering Him and even being afraid of Him. But is this. Notice this definition. Rand Hummel says, "The fear of God is respecting God's holiness by hating what He hates and loving what He loves." And that is the goal. Let's look at that again. Why don't we just say that together? That's a short definition. Rand Hummel says, "The fear of God is respecting God's holiness by hating what He hates and loving what He loves." So where do we find what God hates? We find it in His Word. We know that God hates sin, so we should hate sin. We know God loves the sinner, so we should love the sinner. We know God loves righteousness, so we should love righteousness. And you go either way, and we'll be looking at that more in detail in the months to come. But nevertheless, that is revering Him. Now, this high respect that we have, do we have that? There are times in my life, in your life, and as believers, where we need to really get renewed in this aspect of revering God. God becomes way too casual to us sometimes. And we look at Him very flippantly. We treat Him as if just like sometimes, you know, mechanically. We're just going through the motions. Instead of having awareness in my mind that I am in the presence of God, I have to remind myself, because we are we are fallible creatures. My wife said this morning, "Honey, you realize," said, "that men are infallible." I said, "Well, I was saying that to prove a point, okay? Because we are fallible." I just told a lie, because, you know, when I said that. But with all honesty, we are fallible creatures, and we forget easily to remember that for the believer, all ground is holy ground. And if I'm not careful in my Christian life, I will actually pick departments where I will be aware of God. And most commonly, and I'm speaking heart to heart. I'm not being elevated here. I might be a lot higher, but that's just for the purpose of acoustics and the purpose of me being able to preach the Word and see you. But we're heart to heart here tonight. But what the temptation is sometimes is for us to maybe departmentalize our fear of God for when we come to church. That's when I will get sober and really focus. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We should, like tonight. But folks, if you are a born-again believer and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, everywhere you go, as long as you're breathing breath on this earth, is holy ground. Your entertainment is holy ground. Your home is holy ground. Your workplace is holy ground. Everywhere you come to the church, holy ground. That's because God lives in me. And I need to have a respect for Him and a reverence to Him anywhere I go. You know, when I was in the Coast Guard, one of the things I loved about being on the ship, one of my favorite things was, well, it was two things there that kind of went together. We took turns. It was lookout and helmsman. So on the top, it was about a crow's nest on the very top of the ship, about this size. And man, it was my favorite things to be up there on that crow's nest out there in the middle of the Caribbean many times, watching sunsets, watching sunrises many times up there in the middle of the night, and you just beholding the stars and the Milky Way, just gorgeous. There are times like that I miss, but the crow's nest, if you weren't on lookout, you had 1 hour on lookout, and then you had 1 hour on the helm, whence the bridge was right below the lookout. So you would just climb down the ladder, go down, and then you would get on the helm. Usually on the bridge was about the size I don't know, probably about twice the size of this platform. We call it the bridge. The bridge is where they had the quartermasters had their chart. They were plotting the courses of where we were patrolling. You had the officer on deck. He was the man in charge. He was always looking out, making sure what the contacts were coming our way. You had the lookout up. You had the helmsman, the quartermaster, and then you had the bosun's mate that would come up and do rounds and whatnot. So nevertheless, you usually had any three or four. But I say all that to say this. Anytime we were up on the bridge, no matter what time of day, no matter if it was in the middle of the night, anytime the captain of the ship, in this case it was a 210-foot cutter, all right, so it was a Coast Guard cutter, and usually this captain was usually an 03 or 04 in his rank, but nevertheless, he was the superior officer on board. And anytime he came up on deck, the first person that saw him was to yell, "Captain on deck!" And boy, when you heard that, everybody else repeated the same thing. And you better say it quickly. When the one would say it, everybody else should say it immediately, "Captain on deck!" And then the captain usually would say, "At ease." He would just tell them to relax or whatnot. But when he came up, he was given that reverence and that respect. Anytime the captain was there on the ship, that's what it was. And we realized that he was in a place that he deserved that. It was reasonable to give him that respect. It was appropriate to give him that respect. He was the superior officer. He was that leader. And I tell you, I actually had the experience too that as a non-rate, I was the officer's servant there at one time. I would serve the captain's wardroom, if you will. And so, again, not a real big room on this size ship, but it had a pretty long table, sat about 12 officers, and I remember going in there, and I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I just kind of, with extrovert, I would like talking, but I could only talk when spoken to. I couldn't, you know, unless they wanted a refill, you know, "Would you like a refill, sir," or whatever. But nevertheless, I loved doing that. And the captain would be there, and he was this particular captain was a personable man, and he was pretty kind, and he would always ask me, "Jennings, how you doing? What's going on?" You know, and I always thought, that's pretty neat that the captain's talking to me. But anyway, we would serve him, and boy, but when I was there, we were taught you use the utmost respect. You make eye contact, you speak when spoken to. You're polite, and we were taught that as we were going in there to give it our best, I was to be careful, I was to be respectful, I was to be honoring. These officers, they got the best plates, they got the best cups, they got the best silverware, and they got the best food, too. And they got the best dessert. And I want to tell you something, there are many times when they didn't eat everything, I had some of that food and dessert too. Well, they gave us permission though. It's like, you know, if we took in some cake or something and they didn't eat it all or whatnot, I wasn't eating off these used plates. Don't get that idea, okay? It's like, good gracious. Oh boy, they're starving you on that ship. But nevertheless, it was all the good stuff, and because it was appropriate to give them the best, they had earned that position. They were leaders, and it was a blessing to be able to serve in that capacity, because they were worthy of it. And that is a key word when it comes to this aspect of revering God in the aspect of fearing Him. It's because we give Him that fear because He is worthy of that fear. You know, my God is worthy of my very best. Christian, listen tonight. God is worthy of your very best. Your very best effort every day, God wants that. You know, you can look at it in all different contexts of life. But God deserves our best attitude. He expects our best praise. He expects our best service. He expects our best appearance. You know, I know that sometimes folks have been criticized for wearing, the phrase Sunday's best. And you know, I don't think there's anything should be negative about somebody desiring to wear their Sunday's best. Why do we do that to show off? I mean, maybe some churches do. Maybe some people in here. Maybe I have before. Maybe we wear certain things because it's tradition. Maybe we wear certain things because it's showing off. But what really should be the motive of every one of us when we do dress up and come to church, why do I want to do that? Because I want to demonstrate and convey a high esteem and respect
for God Almighty.
When I come to church, I'm gathering together with brothers and sisters and here at the church, and so I want to wear my best. It's like, somebody, and again, I'm not picking on people that would wear certain things. If it was their best, if it was nice, because that's the thing. I mean, I wore flip-flops to church every single Sunday in Niger, West Africa. It was appropriate. Okay? I also wore a weird-looking robe, okay? And I'm not going to do that here. But the weird robe was acceptable. It was appropriate. It was nice. And the Africans, the West Africans there, they had certain attire that was for more formal things, special designated services that they would have. And one of those was what they would wear to the mosque, or in our case, with some of the Christians. And they were, even though some of them didn't have very nice clothes, they would understand the element of when we come to worship God together, it is very appropriate to wear our best. And I'm not getting into what all that is, because the truth of the matter is, your heart is the most important matter. In your heart, when you come to church, are you just coming casual because, hey, I don't really care about looking dressed up and putting on my best. You know, my point is, if you're going to wear a t-shirt to church, I don't see anything wrong with that, but I would say, is it your best t-shirt? You know, because, you know, what does that say? It says you're wanting to wear what's best. You're wanting to give your best to the Lord. I want to do that because He is worthy. And we do what the things we do here at our church. We're going to be talking about some renovations tonight and the things we do in our updates and whatever the case may be. We don't do that to be prideful. We don't do that to show off. We don't do that to draw attention to us. The reason we do that, church, is because we want to give our very best to a holy and righteous God. We want to have quality for Him. And if it's the motive is to be a showboat, boy, that is the opposite of reverence. That's selfishness. And the Lord knows our hearts in that. But you understand the truth here that it is to revere Him, to admire Him. The fear of God is not outdated and antiquated. It truly is not. And here's my concern, church, and this is where I just would give you an admonition here. And for me too, for our church, anybody listening, here is the danger many times with even believers. Many people have invented a God who is just like them. A God with whom they can be comfortable. A God conjugated up in their own imagination. And the result is, you know, this is the result. There's no fear of God. So that is the balance. My God is always approachable. He is always accessible. He is always kind. He is always loving. He is faithful. And He loves me. And He takes me as I am. And I understand that. But I come to Him with reverence. I come to Him that to acknowledge those attributes with great admiration, with great esteem. And I don't want Him I should not look at my God, the Creator, as just one of the boys. No, He's not just one of the boys. I am thankful that my God is my King and my Master, and I am thankful that He is my friend. But you know what I'd say about that? Yes, He's my friend, but He is the Most High God who is my friend. You have to keep that in perspective. He's not my friend like Brother Arthur, Brother Dan, or whoever out here is my friend. I hope you all are. But nevertheless, because we are fallible creatures, we are created, but He is not. He is infallible. He is perfect and just. He was not created. He is the Creator. And I want to revere Him. And so as we go through in the year, I leave you with this thought. Let's do our best, church, in showing our fear of God, to be amazed with Him, to be afraid of Him, and to admire Him. And if we will have that in our lives, I'm telling you, it will help us to truly have Spirit-led revival. I'm expecting it in my life, and I'm expecting it for your life, and I hope you will do the same as we trust Him and as we stand in awe of Him. Let's pray.